Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Sun Pharmaceutical Industries Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Abhishek Sharma. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good evening and a warm welcome to our fourth quarter FY24 earnings call. I am Abhishek from the Sun Pharma Investor Relations team. We hope you have received the Q4 financials and the press release that was sent out earlier in the day. These are also available on our website. We have with us Mr. Dilip Shanghvi, Managing Director, Mr. C. S. Muralidharan, CFO, Mr. Abhay Gandhi, CEO, North America, and Mr. Kirti Ganorkar, CEO, India Business. Today, the team will provide an update on financial performance and business highlights for the quarter, pipeline updates, and respond to any questions that you may have. We will refer to the consolidated financials for management comments. The call recording and call transcript will also be put up on our website shortly. The discussion today might include certain forward-looking statements, and these must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that our business faces. You are requested to ask two questions in the initial round. I also request all of you to kindly send in your questions that may remain unanswered today. I will now hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. C. S. Muralidharan.
Welcome and thank you for joining us for this earnings call after the announcement of financial results for the fourth quarter FY24. Our full year and Q4 financials are already with you. As usual, we will look at key consolidated financials. The full year FY24 sales were at rupees 477,585 million, a growth of 10.4% over last year. Material cost stands at 22.3% of sales, lower than last year on account of higher specialty sales and better product mix. Staff cost stands at 19.7% of sales, higher versus last year on account of annual merit increase, consolidation of Concert, and increased headcount in India field force. Other expenses were at 32.3% of sales, higher on account of higher R&D expenses, including Concert and selling and distribution expenses. Forex gain for the year was rupees 361 million compared to a loss of rupees 1,261 million last year. EBITDA for the year was at rupees 130,231 million, a growth of 11.8% with resulting EBITDA margin of 26.9%. Adjusted net profit for the year was at 100,707 million, up 16.5%. Reported net profit for the year was rupees 95,764 million compared to rupees 84,736 million in the same period last year. Let us now discuss the Q4 FY24 performance. Q4 FY24 sales were at rupees 118,133 million, a growth of 10.1% over the Q4 FY23 and lower by 2.8% over Q3 FY24. Material cost for the quarter was 20.2% of sales, lower year-on-year on account of better product mix, including higher specialty sales. Material cost is lower versus Q3 FY24 on account of geographic and product mix. Staff cost came in at 19.5% of sales, higher than Q4 FY23 on account of merit increase, increase in headcount, and consolidation of Concert. Other expenses were higher year-on-year and also Q-on-Q on account of higher R&D spend, which includes consolidation of Concert and higher sales and distribution expenses across geographies. Forex loss for the quarter was rupees 564 million compared to a loss of rupees 272 million in Q4 FY23. EBITDA, including other operating revenues, was at rupees 30,352 million, higher by 8.3% over Q4 last year. EBITDA margin for the quarter was 25.3% compared to 25.6% in Q4 FY23 and 28.1% in Q3 FY24. Adjusted net profit, excluding the exceptional items for Q4 FY24, was ₹27,562 million, representing a growth of 27.8% over Q4 FY23. Reported net profit for Q4 FY24 stands at ₹26,546 million as against reported net profit of ₹19,845 million in Q4 FY23. The effective tax rate for Q4 FY24 was 5.1%. Reported EPS for the quarter was at ₹11.1 per share. As of 31st March 2024, net cash was US$2.4 billion at consolidated level and US$1.1 billion at the ex-Taro level. Moving on to Taro's performance, net sales for the full year was US$629 million, up by 9.8%. Net profit for the full year was US$53.9 million. For Q4 FY24, sales were US$165 million. Excluding impact of GTN adjustments, sales growth was in high single digits. Net profit for Q4 FY24 was US$15.1 million compared to US$6.9 million in Q4 FY23. I now hand over to Mr. Kirti Ganorkar, who will share the performance of our India business.
Thank you, Murli. I shall take you through the performance of our India business. Our India formulation sales for the full year FY24 were 148,893 million, recording 9.5% growth over previous year. For Q4, the sales of formulation in India were ₹37,078 million, recording a growth of 10.2% over Q4 last year. India formulation sales accounted for 31.4% of total consolidated sales for the quarter. Sun Pharma is ranked number one and holds 8.5% market share in the over ₹1,970 billion Indian pharmaceutical market as per AIOCD AVAX MAT March 2024 report. Corresponding market share for the previous period was 8.3%. For the quarter ending March 24, we grew higher than IPM and we have done well across all major represented therapy areas. As per SMSRC MAT FEB 2024 report, we continue to be number one ranked company based on the prescription volume. Sun Pharma is also ranked number one by prescriptions with 12 different doctor categories. For Q4 FY24, the company launched 9 new products in India. I will now hand over the call to Abhay.
Thank you, Kirti. I will update on the performance highlights of our U.S. businesses. Our overall U.S. business grew by 10.1% to US$1,854 million for the full year FY24. The growth driven by specialty with all our growth products contributing like Ilumya, Cequa, Winlevi and Odomzo. For Q4, our overall sales in the U.S. grew by 10.9% over Q4 last year to US$476 million. The U.S. accounted for over 33.5% of consolidated sales for the quarter. For Q4, we launched 2 generic products in the U.S. on an ex-Taro basis. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Shankar.
Thank you, Abhay. I will provide an update on the performance highlights of our other businesses as well as give you an update on our R&D initiatives. Our branded formulation revenues in emerging market were US$1,041 million for the full year, up by 5.9% year on year. For Q4, sales in emerging markets were US$245 million, up by 10.8% over Q4 last year. the underlying growth in constant currency terms was 17% year-on-year for Q4. Emerging markets accounted for 17.2% of total consolidated revenue for Q4. Amongst the larger markets in local currency terms, Brazil and South Africa have done well. Formulation revenues in rest of the world were US$811 million, up by 7.8% over last year. For Q4, rest of the world sales were US$196 million, up by 2.5% over Q4 last year. Rest of the world markets account for approximately 13.8% of consolidated revenue. We continue to invest in building a R&D pipeline for both the global generics and the specialty businesses. Consolidated investments towards R&D for Q4 24 stands at ₹9,000 million, 7.6% of sales. The specialty R&D accounted for 42% of our total R&D spend for the quarter. Moving on to updates on global specialty, in FY24, our global specialty sales were up by 19.3% to reach US$1,039,000,000. In Q4 financial year 24, our global specialty sales were up by 11.1% to reach US$271,000,000. We've seen a strong growth in global Ilumya sales for the year, which were up by 21.7% to US$580 million. This figure does not include end market sales of our partners. The board has proposed a final dividend of rupees 5 per share for the year FY24. This is in addition to the interim dividend of 8.5 per share paid in FY24, taking the total dividend for the FY24 to ₹13.5 per share compared to 11.5 per share for the FY23. And lastly, on the guidance for FY25, we expect high single-digit consolidated top-line growth for FY25. All our businesses are positioned for growth. For the current year, we will be in investment phase for the several businesses. These include, but not limited to, product launch costs in the U.S., as the ramp-up of our global specialty business is expected to continue. R&D investments will be 8 to 10% of sales for the next year. With this, I would like to leave the floor open for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on your US business excluding Taro and Speciality. So have you seen improvement in the performance considering prior few quarters have seen lower shipments from key plants like Mohali? So excluding Revlimid also, have you seen pickup in that part of the business?
Hi, Dami.
Hi.
On the, your question is on the generics business, correct?
Yes, yes, U.S. generic business.
Yeah. So I think supplies from Mohali have resumed, but obviously not fully in effect, and it will gradually improve over a period of time. So we had to make do with what we had, and in that context, we did the best that was possible.
Okay, and you mentioned two launches during the quarter. How are you positioned for launches in FY25 for U.S. generic business?
So we have a plan of filing and getting approvals for a few products. Specific details, obviously, we won't give, but the pipeline looks healthy, and most of the key products that we wanted to get to market are in that basket.
Sure. And my second question is on your pipeline for GLP-1 products. So can you share, like, how far those are from market launch and, like, how many you have filed so far? Some color on that will be helpful.
You mean the generic GLP-1?
Yes, generic GLP-1 products.
So we generally don't give out information related to future product, specific product launches. So, but they are interesting products globally.
Okay, but you are working for your global portfolio, right? Without discussion further.
Yeah, we are working for the global portfolio, correct.
Oh, thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. So based on your guidance of high single-digit growth for FY25, you know, if I were to just think about the various businesses, particularly specialty, is it fair to assume that, you know, this year, even with Ilumya growth, we're not expecting too much momentum in the rest of the portfolio, particularly Winlevi? Is that how I should be reading this number? You know, and if, and you know, along with that, if you could just give us an update on what you're seeing in Winlevi.
Abhay will respond to specifics, but otherwise the overall guidance is a consolidated guidance for all businesses. Not only, it's not
yes,
that the business is for yeah, Abhay, yeah. You can respond.
On Winlevi specifically, if you see the quarter, and from external data, you can validate this. I mean, we have seen actually a very strong quarter for Winlevi.
And do you expect the momentum to build from here now that you've started seeing a pickup on Winlevi? Would that be fair to assume?
That would be our expectation, yes.
And on Ilumya, Abhay, you know, given 20% growth, are we close to getting sort of, you know, the growth peaking out, or you think there's more steam left in Ilumya as we, you know, look through the next few years?
I mean, our task as a team is to continuously find ways to grow this product.
Understood. Despite the fact that we are seeing competition from, you know, biosimilar Humira, etc.
Yes, sure.
And the Durexo launch, you know, approval, which is due in July, the launch-related cost for that would start coming through in the second half of this year. Will that be a fair assumption? I mean, just wanted to get a sense on the launch timeline for Durexo, assuming we get approval in July?
There are small costs that we are incurring even today for all the pre-launch activities, but I think the major cost will obviously, you know, hit our numbers when we actually launch the product.
Which would be when, based on the July 24 timeline for approval?
So we are on track to launch it post the PDUFA date. Do remember, it takes a little bit of time to actually enter the market with all the pre-launch activities that need to be done. But we are on track as of now.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Bino Patimparampil from Ilara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Dilip, could you please comment a bit on this FDA issues at Mohali and Dadra? Do you think the worst we have seen and from here on we will improve, or do you expect anything more?
No, I think we are concerned about the negative outcomes in the audit, and I think it's our job to find a way to ensure that we come out of whatever the learnings that we have so that we perform much better in subsequent audits.
I understand. But I asked you this because, you know, especially in Mohali, we had inspection 483, then we got an OAI status, and subsequently, a few months later, again, we got something else, which is like that third-party consultant verification, etc. So we have been on a, you know, worsening course. You think that has bottomed out, or, you know, do you have the confidence that has bottomed out?
I mean, we feel that we've done enough corrections so that we should see a positive outcome in subsequent audits.
Okay. Second, on this product MM2, from your press release, I see that you plan to initiate a phase 3, but if I remember correctly, it had not met the primary endpoint in phase 2. So could you put that in context, please?
No, I think I think what we disclose in the phase or the press release is that it did not meet the primary endpoint. But we believe that with our learnings and our understanding, we can design a phase 3 study which will not only meet primary endpoint but will also be proven to be a very effective product.
Okay, and the phase 3 will be in the US?
Yeah, it's a global study, including US.
Including US. Okay, you can, if it's successful, you can directly file in the US. That's the way it's designed.
Sure.
Okay, if I could push one last question on this Nigeria-related forex loss, is that a balance sheet item? I mean, is it a receivable that you have written down?
So this was due to the sharp currency depreciation by the regulator, and we booked an MTM loss against the payables.
Understood. Okay, so it's a balance sheet item. On the payables, you had to book loss.
It's a P&L item shown as exceptional because action was initiated by the regulator.
Understood. So what I'm trying to understand is that on the balance sheet, you had some money that was receivable or payable, and on that, because of the devaluation, there is a loss. Is that correct?
Correct, correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, but it's balance sheet via P&L.
Understood. Thank you. I'll join back.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, with respect to Deuruxolitinib, are there any queries pending with US FDA?
No.
We haven't received any specific queries which have till date not been answered.
Understood. And just on this India market, if you could share the outlook for at the industry level, what do you think would be the growth rate for next 1 to 2 years? Is the trade generics eating away the volume from the prescription sales? If you could, you know, give your perspective over here.
For us, it's very difficult to predict what will be the industry growth in next 1 to 2 years, but the effort in India business as a team is always we grow in line with market or slightly higher than market. And your questions on trade generics, there is a momentum and growth in trade generics, but we don't see any direct impact on our prescription business because the market is large enough for all the players to grow.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Girish Bakhru from OrbiMed. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Abhay, just on Deuruxo, just need a clarification. If the approval comes in by July, should this product have a normal NCE exclusivity of 5 years like any other?
Abhay, you're responding?
Yeah. So now, in the meantime, yeah, I think it will have the normal 5-year NCE exclusivity.
Sure. So Dilip, I just, I mean, digging this a bit deeper, because there was no compound patent in this case, so, I mean, is that understanding correct, that generic cannot file for at least NCE minus one? So you will have that window like any other product, right?
Yeah. I think, I'm not responding to specific patent-related issue, but your understanding of generics' ability to file is correct.
Understood.
Now, we have multiple patents, and we feel that we should be able to protect the product for a much longer period of time.
That's helpful. And just when you compare this vis-a-vis ILUMYA, I know there's no direct comparison. ILUMYA has become a very sizable product for you. I mean, given that this may take a larger share in terms of growth for you in FY26 and beyond, and you are possibly the third player entering alopecia market with a very strong product, do you think this product essentially will have a much higher potential than ILUMYA for you?
I mean, we are not giving comparative, what you call, sales long-term projection. But I think we feel very happy about the overall, the way the product has performed. Abhay, you're back?
Yeah, I'm back. I think you said it correctly. We are happy with the way the product has performed. We are happy with the way that in our initial discussions with KOLs and other doctors and payers, and the response that we are seeing. And I think we broadly see an acceptance that we have a strong product in our hands.
Understood. And just last one, if I can squeeze, is it possible to give a specific U.S. sales number for ILUMYA?
No, we've given global sales, no?
Yeah, I was just wondering if U.S.-specific sales we could get for ILUMYA.
I mean, U.S. is a major market, is what I can tell you, but no specific detail for U.S. sales.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mr. Patra, please go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for this opportunity, sir. My first question on the, hello, am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. My first question is on the margin profile, sir. So, starting with the current quarter, in fact, the gross margin swing of around more than 200 basis points that we are witnessing for this quarter, although we have seen a sequential decline in the domestic business, there is a last quarter was supported by, there is a $20 million of licensing income. So despite those key contributors to the margins were not there, still there is a more than 200 basis point kind of swing that we are witnessing. What is driving this quarter? And another extended point about this margin thing is that when you are saying that growth for FY25 is likely to be single digit, and we are raising our R&D spend guidance by more than 200 basis point. So how should we one think about the margin profile of the business overall for FY25?
So you're right. First, on the gross margins, you are right that in the previous quarter, the milestone income was there. However, the current quarter, the gross margins have increased by about 200 basis points, primarily because of the function of both product and the geography mix. There were many multiple small contributing factors, which individually may not be very high, but on aggregate basis, did have a positive momentum in the current quarter. From the overall perspective for FY25 outlook, we have given the revenue guidance. At this point of time, we are not giving any EBITDA margin guidance for FY25.
Okay.
I think we are clear that we have to continue to invest for future. And our effort would be that while we are creating that investment for future, we don't do it at the cost of profitability. But even if it does require some increased investment, we would do that, because ultimately our focus is on building a business which is strong long term.
Sure, sir. So my second point question is about the global specialty business, which will also about the Ilumya's progress in China. In fact, the last quarter we had seen a big development so far as Ilumya is concerned in China, since that was included into the national reimbursement list of China. That is one. So any progress on that front? And also if you can split for the global specialty, what is the kind of a US and non-US, that split if you can share?
No, I think your assessment that the product got what you call reimbursement, as well as we are happy with how the product launch is progressing. We just responded to a question about the U.S. sales of Ilumya. So we don't break down the sales in different geographies, but we're giving consolidated global sales. And we remain excited about the future potential of the product, not only in all the existing markets, but also in new markets we are in the process of launching.
Okay. Now, my point was that, in fact, in the last few quarters, we have seen extending our global or the U.S. specialty portfolio to various global markets. Possibly there is a kind of few quarters already lapsed on that front. So are we seeing a kind of a enhanced growth for the specialty portfolio led by the non-US market presence and progress there?
I think we will see, my view is that we will see specialty business becoming an increasingly important part of the business. And that's what I think we've been guiding. Our initial focus and presence was in the U.S. Now that we are launching these products in other geographies, we will see increasing acceptance and potential sales of this. Our hope is that our growth in the U.S. will keep up with the new business that we will generate, so that U.S. will continue to have a much higher share of the future growth. But we will sell, I mean, it will become a global business.
Okay. Just last one, if I may. So this, can you share some thought process about your plans for the Tarosa, about its integration and integrating the business into the overall U.S. and the potential growth subsequently? How should one think about this integration of Taro?
So I think broadly, Taro, we've been actively involved in managing the business. So it's not a pure acquisition where we kind of buy a company and we don't know anything about it. So I'm not seeing any dramatic change in the way the business is run.
Sure, sir. Yeah. Thank you, sir. It's all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take our next question from the line of Shayan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my question. You have indicated in the past, these last two quarters, Revlimid was not a big contributor. I remember in 4Q, I think you mentioned last year it was. So I just wanted to check, is there a big contribution from Revlimid this quarter? How should we think about that in the coming year, please?
So for quarter four, it was not a huge contributor. Certainly, more than what we did in Q3. And like you said, referring to my earlier comments on the product, the sales of this product will be episodic and a bit lumpy when you look at it from an annual kind of a basis.
Right, understood. And the second question again on Ilumya in the US in particular. So what are the growth drivers that you see now the product is established going forward that could, you know, help it grow over the next, say, 5 years or so?
I think the biggest growth driver we have is the current amount of data and the experience that current users have had with the product. So I think that's a big positive as far as product is concerned. Secondly, I think over a period of time, we should be able to get our new indication of psoriatic arthritis. That will be another driver for growth.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Ankush Mahajan from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity. This is in extension to the gross margins, a very healthy improvement in gross margins Q and Q. Sir, as we are launching new product in the specialty this year also, the product mix is changing towards the specialty. So there is any further scope of improvement in gross margins?
So while you are right that you have seen upward movement of gross margins Q4, however, it's difficult to say at this juncture. What we feel is that our full year gross margins would be a better indicator to look at while looking at forward period.
Okay. So we can say whatever we are spending on R&D, that could be set up by the improvement in gross margins.
So we are not giving any guidance on margins at this point of time.
Okay. So this, what is the status of for the Nilje in the European market? And can you tell us that what is the total market size for this drug in the Europe?
So I think it all depends on the kind of label that we will get. We are excited with the kind of clinical data we've seen. But it all depends on what kind of final label we will get. It's a useful and important product for patients in Europe.
Sir, any idea about what is the total market size for this product?
No, I think you should keep in mind that the number of patients would be in thousands. It's not a very large market, but I think, and also how many we will be able to capture is the second issue. But we feel comfortable based on the market research that we can get reasonably good reimbursement. And in Europe, if you get good reimbursement and you have good marketing infrastructure, you should be able to at least successfully ensure that the product benefits are able to reach the patient.
Thank you, sir. Thanks very much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Krish Mehta from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to ask on the restructuring costs we've taken in Japan of around 232 million rupees this quarter as to what this restructuring involves. And as a follow-up to that, if you could just expand a bit on our Japanese portfolio and how we are seeing Japan products in terms of the specialty business as well as the Novartis portfolio that we had acquired several years ago. Thank you.
So the first question on the Japan restructuring cost, we being a global company, we do relook at our businesses and structures, and we have taken some appropriate business decisions to the current circumstances. That's why you see this restructuring cost, which is a one-time cost. On the Japan portfolio, of course, we have our specialty products currently approved. Ilumya is our product there. And we also got the long-listed brands, which we market there currently.
I think we are excited about the overall success that Ilumya has had in Japan, especially considering limited familiarity that doctors had with Sun Pharma as a company. And our effort now is to ensure that we are able to get a fair share of the prescriptions of the IL-23.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Vishal Manchanda from Systematic. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening and thanks for the opportunity. On Ilumya, would you be able to share what would be its market share in the biologics category for psoriasis?
Is the question pertaining to US?
Yes, in the US, right.
So it will be very small. It will be less than 1% of total.
Sorry?
Of total market, it will be less than 1%.
Just the psoriasis market and biologics category is...
That's what I referred to.
Okay, so 1% of the biologics market in psoriasis.
Yeah.
Okay. And another one on deuruxolitinib. If you could share some sense on how is it differentiated versus the other two options, Olumiant and Rintegritinib.
So that's a very specific science question, which I don't know that on the call I can do justice without spending 10 minutes on it. So maybe you can separately take it up with Abhishek later.
Yeah, but actually we don't have any comparative study. All the understanding we have is based on separate...
Our own data.
And also separate phase 3 studies which are available in public domain or are on label of both the products. And based on that, I think, at least based on the feedback that we've received from KOL, they feel that the overall performance of deuruxolitinib is very good.
Okay. And on Sezaby, if you could update if there is something around around exclusivity getting triggered for the product during the year.
I think Spark has filed a citizen's petition and we are working on it. That's all I will say.
Got it. And just one more, with Stelara getting genericized next year, do you expect any pricing pressure for that?
I mean, it is one of the options out of many. And all these, you know, competitive activities keep happening around us. So the overall guidance which Mr. Shanghvi has given factors in, you know, whatever possible competitive changes that we see. Not only for one product, but for all products and on a global scale.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Madhav Marda from FIL. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you so much for your time. I had two questions. The first one was the initial launch cost, assuming approval comes for Durexo in the next few months. Is this sort of a non-recurring expense which would happen in the first few months or first few quarters of launch and then that goes away or scales down? Is that how we should think about initial launch expense for a product?
No.
So some of those expenses, you know, may be one time, but a large part of the expense will be a recurring expense.
And these expenses pertain to basically manpower and promotion cost, both these items on sale.
Yeah. And there will be others, but these two will be the bulk of it.
Understood. And then just the second question was on the R&D spend, where when we are guiding for 8-10%, that would mean...
Sorry, your voice is a little low and you're speaking very fast, so... I don't think that I'm catching your questions very clearly.
Yeah, sorry, I'll just repeat my question. So my second question was, when we are saying the R&D spend could go up to 8-10% of revenue, That I'm just doing this simple math. That would mean almost like $200 million increase on our R&D spend. So could you help us understand where some of this incremental spend would be going towards? Is it like the phase 3 or phase 2 study of all the products?
Yeah, I think what I indicated in my readout is that a large part of the R&D spend increase would be in the specialty products.
Okay. If you can call out anything more specific, is it like specific trials for specific products? Anything that you can share more will be helpful.
We have shared the plans for all the products.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Prashant Nair from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My first question is on comment that you would be in an investment phase during the next financial year. So just wanted to understand, would this be more skewed towards R&D or would it be more evenly spread between say R&D and launch expenses related to your specialty products in the US? I mean, how should we think about it?
I think my comment was more for the R&D related expenses. We believe that increased business that we will get, we should be able to adjust for the increased marketing spend, excepting some one-time cost, but those are not big costs. And as I explained, our focus would be that how do we increase the spend without negatively impacting our overall profitability. How much we are able to execute is something that we will see. So we are not guiding for any profitability, but the focus would be that even if it means some compromise with profitability, we would like to create a longer term high value for the business.
Yeah, thanks. That helps. And the second question is related to your tax rate. I mean, how should we think about it on an annual basis over the next few years?
So we already mentioned that tax expansion should be seen on an annual basis. Even if you look at the current annualized ETR for the current year, is 13% versus 9% in the previous year. So we have been recommending that look at our tax rates on an annual basis. And it's likely to inch up as we move forward year after year.
Okay, that works. Yeah. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Shayan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the follow-up. So just two questions. So firstly, sir, on the emerging market, I think you mentioned, if I got you right, on constant currency term, it was 17% growth. This quarter is a very strong growth and we have seen good traction there. Typically, for these markets, what we understand, do not have a very high growth, right? Brazil, South Africa and all. So if you can, sort of give some more color, just thinking how sustainable, is the kind of growth in emerging markets and what exactly is driving such strong growth there.
So I think our focus is to what you call sell products which have a more consistent business rather than focusing on tender kind of business. Unfortunately, the markets are such that we always have the risk of currency depreciation. What we are happy is that in spite of this, the business continues to do well and grow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So my second question was on R&D. You mentioned about investments there. And your guidance do suggest a meaningful step up in that spend. If I look at the specialty pipeline, it appears that there would be products which will get into phase 3 possibly in calendar year 25 or FY 26. So will it be will we see another step up in R&D maybe in FY26 before it starts to moderate?
No, I think my challenge has been that I have limited capacity to predict long-term future. So I don't know what will happen in 2-3 years later. So our focus is to find a way to give you a guidance for this year, and our effort would be to see that we meet the guidance.
Ask this question in a different way, right? I mean, clearly you suggest that we will invest in short term if required from a long term perspective. Are there any sort of how do we manage the risk here, in the sense that do you have some limit on the kind of spend that you want to incur as a company?
No, I don't think I want to respond to a specific question whether I have a limit or not. But I believe that when we look at our overall performance, then our investment in R&D is significantly higher than many generic companies. At the same point of time, if we look at our overall spend in R&D as a specialty company, then there are many other companies whose overall spend is much higher than ours. So we need to find a balance and find a way by which we continue to generate growth and positive cash flow for our investors, while we continue to create long-term value. And that's our focus.
Got it, sir. So if I can ask one last question on the generic business. Any comment on pricing environment? And secondly, the plant issues that we have with Dadra, Mohali, etc. Is that having any impact on your meaningful launch that you expect, let's say, in the next 1 or 2 years? Or you think the meaningful ones are protected, given the compliance status at this point?
So, Abhay, maybe you can respond about the pricing.
Yes, sure. I mean, we have said this on our calls in the past as well, that it's a highly product-specific issue. On certain products, we see deep cuts, and on certain, we don't see deep cuts. But overall, I think the environment remains the same as we saw in the previous years.
Yeah, and I think the overall guidance we have presumes and factors the current challenges that we have in the facilities.
Right, sir. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Nitesh Dutt from Burman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a question on our India business. So I just wanted to understand our manufacturing strategy. Basically, two questions. One, what percentage of the production is being done in-house versus outsourced? And are you trying to maintain the same mix or trying to increase in-house? And also, is it like a concentrated supply base or fragmented across a lot of players?
So I think, I don't know whether we've shared this specific information, but I think our focus would be to find a way to produce in-house as much as possible. So our relative percentage of outsourced product are limited, but would be buying from a few vendors, and that increases the challenge in terms of ensuring that they meet all the compliance requirements for what we are expecting from manufacturing facilities that we run ourselves. So that's one of the key reasons why we want to produce in-house.
Got it. And sir, as the government is tightening the norms, etc., for the contract manufacturers, so can it provide us an opportunity to move in-house or improve our gross margins in that sense if we move some production?
I mean, since we don't have a large business from third-party manufacturers, it will not have a material impact on what will that be.
Understood. Thanks for the response. I'll come back to you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Prashant Nair from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. The first question is on Illumia. So in terms of development, are there any indications other than psoriatic arthritis that you are currently thinking about from this product's perspective, or will that be the only additional one that you look at?
Yeah, I think that's the only disclosed indication that we are currently working.
Okay, and is there potential to look at other options as well, or at a later date?
I mean, we haven't taken any specific decision with developing it. If we decide to, then that's something that we will share with people.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Dr. Abhishek Sharma for closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for joining us at this late hour. If any of your questions have remained unanswered, you can get back to the investor relations team or to me, and we'll be happy to take those separately. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Sun Pharmaceutical Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.